Welcome to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast, where we can help you build confidence with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. We hope you enjoy the show. And now, for your host, Paul Marquis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 322 of the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I'm your host, Paul Marquis, and today we're going to be doing a little orthopedic Q&A session. We're going to be talking about the bear hug test, liftoff test. We're going to be talking about proximal biceps ruptures. We're going to go over the need for orthotics for Morton's neuroma and metatarsalgia, and we're also going to be talking
about back pain gone to leg pain, and if that is normal or not.
And they are now carrying but I do want to start with the fact that this is our last episode for 2023. I can't believe how quickly this year has gone by. I just want to thank all of you for listening to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I so greatly appreciate it. But with that being said, I want to jump into today's Q&A session and just go through a few things here and see if we can answer some folks who have been sending questions through our YouTube channel and some through our emails. So the first question I have was, what does it mean if I pass the bear hug test but not the liftoff test? Does that still mean I have a subscapularis rupture? And so this is an interesting question. For the fact that the bear hug test and the liftoff test both test the same thing, but in completely different positions, okay? So the bear hug test is going to include your pecs a little bit more, and so that is something that you need to take into consideration. When the hand is behind you with the liftoff test, it's at a real mechanical disadvantage. Now, here's the thing. One of the parts to this that was not in the question was, you know, if they're not able to do the liftoff test, was it because they could not physically use the subscapularis to lift the hand off of the buttock, or were they so tight that they could not lift the arm off of the buttock? And there's a difference. So what I do with these folks is I test the bear hug test, I do a belly press test, and I can have these videos lined up, linked in the show notes so you can take a look at them. And along with the, I think I even have a positive liftoff test for you. And then what I do is I'll try the liftoff test, and I will myself take the patient's arm and put it behind their back, put it on the buttock, and then I will try to passively lift the hand off the buttock. Now, if I can't lift it off, that means that there is some capsular, you know, restriction there, not allowing that hand to come up off and not able to let the patient internally rotate anymore. So it doesn't matter if they have a rupture or not. If the capsule is too tight, they will not be able to lift the hand off the buttock. All right. So you need to test that first. So if they can put their hand on the buttock and you can lift them off, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 inches, and then you put the hand back on the buttock and they cannot physically do it themselves, that is a positive liftoff test for a subscapularis tear. So something to take into consideration when you are doing all of these tests or this cluster of tests, which I find to be very easy to do and are very indicative and sensitive for a subscapularis tear. So our next question is, will a proximal biceps rupture heal itself? And I get these questions a lot. And the answer to that is, for the most part, no. Okay. The proximal long head of the biceps is the one that tears almost all of the time. I've never seen a short head tear. So the long head, you know, goes up through the bicipital groove, over the humeral head, becomes an intra-articular structure, and it attaches to the supraglenoid tubercle and some to the labrum, the superior labrum. And if that is completely ruptured and pulls off, either superiorly, way up high, or even mid, you know, just above the musculotendinous junction, it is not likely to heal itself again. Now, and the reason for that is that it retracts a lot. No different than having a rubber band that is on tension and you cut one side, it retracts, right? Well, your muscle will do that the same way, and your biceps more so than many others. So it will not heal itself. But interestingly enough, this week we saw a patient who had a labral tear and had surgery, and they found that his torn biceps had healed itself to the pec major musculature, and it had scarred down in that area. So it was actually somewhat functional, but just not attached at its original footprint. So kind of an interesting presentation, not something I've ever seen in 30 years plus, but they do not heal themselves. And I always explain to people that, you know, even if the bicep rupture, the long head of the bicep tendon ruptures, you can still be extremely functional. You have the brachialis just beneath that. You have the short head that is still attached. So you're still able to flex the elbow and supinate. You run into more trouble when you have a distal biceps rupture, and that is a podcast in itself, which we have done. And make sure you check that out. I actually did an interview with Dr. Jessica Aronowitz on distal bicep ruptures. And that was very well received, and she did a great job explaining, you know, the hows and the whys when it comes to distal bicep ruptures. So our next question, do you make an orthotic, a custom orthotic, the same for Morton's neuroma as you do for metatarsalgia? And the answer to that is yes, I do. A Morton's neuroma is significantly more difficult to treat than a metatarsalgia. Metatarsalgia is basically inflammation of the distal metatarsal phalangeal joints. You lose that transverse metatarsal arch. The second, third, and fourth metatarsals hit the ground too hard. There's too much reaction force at the forefoot, probably because of a tight calf. So it's very easy to put an orthotic, either a semi-custom or custom orthotic on, and put a metatarsal pad underneath the orthotic to push into the shaft of the metatarsals and allow the distal metatarsal heads to kind of fall off the cliff and not strike the floor so hard. The other thing it does, it helps to reestablish that transverse metatarsal arch. So the Morton's neuroma is a little different picture here because you have this, you know, this neural growth between your metatarsal heads, a little more difficult to treat, but it usually exists near the metatarsal heads, occasionally between the shaft, but more near the heads. So sometimes there is just too much splaying of the foot, or there's too much compression of the metatarsals that can cause this this neuroma. And so I do treat it the same. I put the pressure with the metatarsal pad. I put that pressure through the shaft of the bone, and I try to reestablish that transverse metatarsal arch so that when they are weight-bearing, they're not splaying so much and causing so much irritation between the metatarsal heads. So I have had some success with that, definitely much more successful treating metatarsalgia. But again, we have to figure out what is the cause to these. And then if we can treat the cause, then they'll do much better. And our last question for today is a gentleman who had sent me a question through YouTube, and he asks, he said, I had severe back pain, which lasted for 2 weeks, and suddenly the back pain became better. And then I developed a tingling pain down my leg, along with some pain, tingling and pain down my leg. And is that normal? And the answer to that question is yes. I've seen this time and time again where people come in, and usually by the time they get to me, it's a bunch of leg pain, tingling, even some weakness, you know, loss of great toe extension, or maybe dorsiflexion or plantar flexion weakness, quad weakness. We've seen this time and time again. And I always ask this question during my evaluation. Was there a time where you were having more back pain than leg pain? And most everybody will say yes. I had this severe back pain, and it was just incredible for a week, 2 weeks, it might even be a couple days. And then the back pain went away and the leg pain started. And so what's happening here? Well, that disc, has those annular fibrous rings around it, and they are neurally innervated, okay? There are nociceptors there. You will have pain when you tear those rings. And so as that starts to tear and become damaged, the nerve fibers are just fired right up. There's a lot of inflammation. There's a lot of swelling there. There's this ripping of this tissue that is happening. And so that causes a lot of localized back pain, a lot of localized spasm, very little discomfort down the legs. Now, as the disc breaks open, and the fibers are not touching each other anymore. They're not being pulled on. Okay, the disc, the inner disc material, that nucleus pulposus, comes through and strikes the nerve root, okay? And that nerve root will cause discomfort down the leg, okay? So now we have less back pain and more leg pain. And it's extremely common. I would say over 75 to 80% of my patients who come in with a massive herniated disc have very, very little back pain, okay? It is more of a neural tension issue. They'll have loss of reflex, they'll have loss of sensation, they'll have loss of strength, they'll have a positive straight leg raise test. A lot of this is due to nerve root compression, not necessarily the tearing of a disc. So, when people have an MRI and they have these annular tears you hear of, not something that is really repairable, but you got to let them settle down and heal. But those can cause a lot of localized back pain. And so that is why patients will come in and say, I had this really severe back pain that went away and I started to develop this leg pain or leg tingling or weakness down the leg with less back pain. That's not uncommon. So that is why they have that. So folks, I want to thank you again for listening to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I hope you had a great 2023. We're coming into 2024. I have so much more for you. Be sure to check out our website. We are doing online coaching. We're going to have more courses. We're going to be doing live courses and really have a big lineup for blood flow restriction training this year. So be sure to connect with me so that we can get you into the schedule, get you educated, and get you feeling much more comfortable with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. Have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For some more awesome content, go to orthoevalpal.com. Can't wait to see you there.